Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. That was worth coming for right there. I'll tell you what, Lord used that to minister to my heart, and I trust He did to yours as well. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We have been for some time now studying the life of Noah on Wednesday nights. And this will be the last message that we'll be studying on the life of Noah. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be starting a brand new series on the life of Elijah. And I'm very excited about the life of Elijah. And I think it's going to be one of those Bible studies that is just going to be a blessing every time we hear another lesson and the message that God's given to us from the life and the events of the life of Elijah. And so that's in a couple of weeks, we'll be starting that. But in Genesis chapter 6 through 9 is what we've been studying in our life of Noah. It records the biblical account of the flood, the old world, and then the beginning of the new world. And it records in that, at the very same time, because I don't think you can separate the two, the life of Noah. And so in this study, we've been in those three chapters mainly, chapters 6, 7, 8, or 4 chapters, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Noah lived for 950 years, and only two lived longer. He had a grandpa whose name was, and you might have heard this before, Methuselah, who lived 969 years, and then a great-grandpa by the name of Jared that lived 962 years. And outside of that, Noah would have been the third oldest living man in human history. And now we study some things about that, how that before the flood, the earth was different. We know it hadn't rained on the earth. The environment was somewhat different. The plant life, who knows what kind of vegetables that they had before the flood. And it could have been that everything led to long life because they did have longer life before the flood. After the judgment, the age of humanity started going down. To Jacob lived 110 years, and it just continued down. So we find that to be true of, we've learned that, if you will, in the life of Noah. Noah knew Methuselah, who lived in Adam's lifespan. Last week we looked at the lifespan, and all the way from Adam to Abraham, three lives would have spanned that whole time. And so Noah knew Methuselah, who lived in Adam. Methuselah knew Adam, and then Noah also knew Abraham, who was 58 years old when Noah died. And so the Bible tells us some of these things, and so it was good to get back into that, look at some of that last week. But we finished on the life of Noah with Noah's great sin after the judgment and then after the flood and once a new world began. And so we studied that, and that's something that you always hate to look into, the sin of some of your great Bible heroes. And Noah is a great Bible hero. We're going to be reading here in Hebrews chapter 11 about how God has placed him in this faith chapter, these heroes of the faith. And yet it's hard to hear the negative side of that, but I'm glad that God included that because it helps all of us to realize that we're all sinners. And Noah, being the righteous man that he was, if he could fall prey to sin, then any one of us could as well if we don't keep our guards up. And so we study his great sin, the consequences, how that was passed down to his children and generations to follow. And then we studied his death. And death ends the life of each and every person that's ever lived on this planet Earth. And so we studied that last week. But I didn't want to leave our study of Noah on the topic of death. Amen? And so I didn't want to do that. So we have one last message. The thought I want to leave with you is a thought that God has left with us concerning Noah. And that is a thought of life. His life. Anytime I'm preaching a funeral of someone that has died, no doubt, and I'm trying to help the people, I always tell them to remember the life lived. And remember the good times. Put the bad things out of your mind. That's not going to help you with anything. That's not going to bring you any kind of comfort. That's not going to help you anyway. Sin, The more you know about other people's sins, the more Satan gets the advantage of you through that. And so it's better off that you don't understand, that you don't know about all the sin that's going on in the lives of other people around you. But when somebody has died, remember the good things. Remember the life that was lived and how God used that life to be a blessing to you. That's what you remember. That's what you hold on to, is remember those things that God used to be a blessing to you. And that's how I want to leave the Bible study on the life of Noah, because I believe that's how God's left it. So Hebrews chapter 11, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read one verse on this faith chapter that God has recorded for us concerning Noah. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church this evening. What a blessing it is as you give us opportunities and we take advantage of those, and how that we can receive things that will draw us closer to you. Just taking advantage of the opportunities that you bring into our lives. So I thank you for this tonight, this service tonight. And Lord, what a blessing it's already been. But now as we look into and bring a conclusion to our study on the life of Noah, I just pray that you'd help us to be aware of the blessings that you have for us in understanding the life of Noah. Pray that you would just bless now the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So, his life, no doubt, is a great example of faith. When I think of David, I don't think of Bathsheba. I put that out of my mind. I think God wanted us to understand about the sin of David, the great sin of David, and the consequences there. I think there's a truth to that, and we need to learn about that. But what I choose to remember about a great man of faith like David was David and Goliath. I want to remember the victories of David, and those victories allow me. And can I tell you this Christian nation, even though they are wanting to disassociate themselves from the things of God, they'll pick up on those types of Bible stories. And you always hear them talk about the underdog as being a David going up against a Goliath. You know, and so, I mean, even that, the principle of that is it gives us hope. Every underdog has the hope of there could be that one day, there could be something that would allow me to kill a giant. Never know. There's hope. If it's happened in the past, it could happen again. Amen. And so we know that that's something there. When I think of Noah, I don't want to end my thought and end the study on Noah of his great sin and the death of Noah. I want to end the study of Noah as realizing that this was a great example of faith. For all this new world, from the beginning of the new world with Noah and his three sons and all people, the human race can be traced all the way back to Noah and his three sons. And we went through and we studied that, how God has given us the genealogy of that. We kind of presented that to you. We've already looked at that. But all of us are linked back to some way over time to Noah, and he was a great man of faith. He had faith to do the work that God called him to do. Now think about this. We've looked at this, but I want you to see it once again. It says, things, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Not seen as yet. By faith, he believed God, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house. So we find that he was called to a work by God to build this ark. We know that was 120 years in building, but it was by faith that he began the work. It was by faith he continued the work, and it was by faith that he finished the work that God had him to do. Amen? And I think that's something that all of us need to realize is by that very same faith that why we begin a work is because we know that God has told me this is His will for my life. Why I continue the work is because God is still on the throne no matter what is taking place around this world, no matter what takes place in my own life, God's call upon my life is still the same. And what His will is for my life, I want to continue in that. I want to start it, I want to continue it, and I want to finish the work that God's called me to by faith. Now, again, in order to begin that, in order to continue that, in order to finish that work, you're going to have to believe God, even though you might not be able to see what God's telling you is going to come about. God revealed to Noah some seemingly unbelievable things. There would be a flood. There's going to be a flood. I'm going to destroy the world by the flood. And Noah, this ark that you're building is going to protect you. It's going to save you from this great flood and all who will come into it. Now, remember, in the old world, it had never rained. If it's not raining, there was not ever even a minor flood. Stop and think about it. What floods? What caused you to have problems in your basement? What causes you to have problems driving even sometimes? What causes floods? Rain. Too much water at any one time and not being prepared to get rid of the water, and the water will continue to build up, and if it builds up, it's going to flood. It's going to flood certain things. There had never been any type of a flood on the earth. Because how God designed it pre-flood, how God designed it in the old world was that the underground, it had an underground irrigation system that kept everything watered just as it needed to be watered, the perfect amount of water. Now you can imagine, if you had the perfect amount of water, Brother Chuck, your tomatoes would not have been dry rotten because of all the rain. You wouldn't lose crops because of the dryness, because you didn't put enough water on it. You wouldn't lose crops because it had too much water. You see, when you have the perfect conditions, the crops will grow to their full extent of what they can grow. The fruit on those crops will be as big as they can be. Before the flood in the old world, can I tell you, it was perfect. The vegetation was perfect. Everything was able to grow and everything was producing the fruit that humanity was needing of. And that very same fruit was able to sustain them, and they lived for hundreds of years. So if you had never seen, now today thinking about rain, you think, oh, nothing to that. Why? Because we experience it all the time. But if you had never felt raindrops coming out of the sky, and somebody tells you, oh, rain comes out of the sky. Yeah, sure. And so it had never rained, and so how is it going to flood if it never rained? But God said, Noah, it's going to flood. So Noah, being warned of God, it's going to flood, of things not seen as yet. Huh. It's going to rain. Again, if you've never seen that, it's just like having a man walk on the moon. That's a fairy tale. It used to be a fairy tale. With humanity, most people thought the moon was still made out of cheese. We're sending a spaceship into the moon to pick up a load of cheese to bring back to the earth. There's no doubt people had all kinds of different thoughts and imaginations, but they never thought it possible, first of all, even for man to fly, and then especially for man to be able to go to the moon. I mean, come on, that is fairy tales. That's not going to happen. And if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If man says it's going to happen, I would doubt what man says. But if God says it, listen to me, it is by faith that we just accept what God says and then plan out our lives according to God's will concerning what is going to come. Amen. That's what Noah did. First of all, it had not rained, and God said, Noah, there's going to come a flood. Water is going to come out of the sky. And not only is water going to come out of the sky, but water will come up from underneath. And there's going to be so much water, and we just described how much water was on the planet during that time. Noah said, God, if you say it, I don't understand it. I don't even know how. I can't fathom the water coming out of the sky. But if you say it's going to happen, by faith, I'm going to believe things not seen as yet. And I'll construct and I'll build an ark. If we look at the Bible, things... The Bible says during the end times there's going to be great apostasy. There's going to be an antichrist world religion and an antichrist world government. Now, if that's going to happen, and the Bible very clearly reveals that it will take place, this world will have an antichrist one world government, and this world will have an antichrist one world religion. If that's going to happen, then things like what's happening today is part of it. And anybody that has any kind of biblical understanding about the prophecies of God can see the prophecies of God just opening up right before our eyes. In the last 10 years, I mean, there have been so many things that have opened up before us that leads to the credibility of what the Bible says concerning the end times. Who would have ever thought that we would have an Antichrist Supreme Court? That because of not anti-religion, not even, if you will, anti what the world calls Christianity, but anti what Jesus Christ established as the will and the ways of God. God designed marriage. God designed the family. And we have a world system right now is redefining what God said is a family. We never thought that would happen outside of God said it would happen. And on and on and on. The rapture of the church. Don't fully understand it. But I know it's going to take place because God says it. Yeah. 1,000-year millennial reign. All these different things. Can I tell you, God says, look at the example of Noah. And stop and put yourself in Noah's shoes. Never have seen a drop of rain. And God says, Noah, not only is it going to rain, but it's going to flood. And the only escape, the only way to get out of the judgment of God is by entering into this ark that you're going to build. Wow. Mm. His life is a great example of faith. For 120 years. He might have got by 115 pretty good, right? Can you imagine the last 5 years? Because the world kept getting worse and worse. There was more ridicule on what Noah said was going to happen than ever before. People had bought into it. Now, at this time, when he first started, you never know just where people might have been. Well, I could be persuaded either way. But by the time that Noah completed the flood, there was no one, not another individual, who believed like Noah believed. No doubt that was tough. Now, that will not happen that way for us because of the church. There will be churches around the world. There will be a body of believers around the world. Amen. Who will not give in to the world, who will not give in to antichrist movements, who will stand for the same truth because it is the truth of the Bible. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for the church. And that's what makes a difference in our society today. But he kept his family together because of his faith. His faith influenced their faith. They was around him day and night. And they saw the faith of Noah, their father, and knew that it was true by and through his faith. There's going to be some people in this earth that are torn between the two. They're looking at the world, and it's going to take your faith standing where God wants you to stand for them to be able to have an opportunity to be influenced by your faith and eventually make that their faith. Amen. And that's why the Bible says that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. How important that is. That's why one of the first things I want to choose to remember about the life of Noah. His life is a great example of faith. Another thing, and we need to move along here, but his life serves as an inspiration for all believers to remain faithful to God in spite of living in a corrupt world. Not only I want to remember his great faith, but I want to continue to be inspired by it. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, we saw already mentioned a little bit of this, but I want to let you see what the Bible says about this. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That was what was taking over the world. The mentality of humanity was only evil, and evil was opposite God, okay? And it was only evil continually. That was what was controlling the world society in Noah's day. 2 Peter now, if you will look back there with me, 2 Peter chapter 2. During this time, when this was what was controlling the mentality of the world, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, when the Bible reveals some things about Noah to it, says this, "And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah." God judged the old world, he destroyed the old world, but he saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah was known as a preacher of righteousness. What an inspiration. Even though that everything else is going down and everything else is apostasy and the philosophies of the world is turning away from the Christian truth, from the truth that Jesus Christ established, there were still those who said, "No, I'm going to stand for righteousness." And he was known as a preacher, someone who stood and presented the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you will. But he stood and presented the good news of the truth of God to the rest of the world. Listen to me, we need to be able to stand with Noah and be inspired by Noah and realizing that we have more than what Noah had. And if Noah was able to do it with no other support, then we ought to be able to do it with the support that God has given to us in this New Testament church age. He's given to us a church family. He's given to us a precious written down word of God, a full revelation of everything that's going to take place throughout humanity. Throughout the time of humanity, throughout it all, God has revealed to us exactly what's going to take place. And we have all of those things. And we have the church that we can assemble at as we are here tonight and encourage one another and hear the word of God being preached and hear messages and song as we did and sing together and praise God together in song. If Noah was able to do it, he was an inspiration with what he had to work with. Then I ought to be able to do it myself. Yeah. And you can if you take advantage of the help that God has given to you. Noah was known as a preacher of righteousness, a man that walked with God perfect in his generation. What a testimony. What a testimony. An inspiration that you can keep a testimony for Christ today. Thirdly, this night, his life serves as a great example of the fulfillment of God's word. Now, he by faith believed it was coming. He by faith worked as hard as he could to accomplish what God had him to accomplish in the time that he had, 120 years. But even though it did not seem like it was possible, the Bible records that what God said would happen, happened. Luke chapter 17 The Bible records it for us so we might learn this from the life of Noah. In Luke chapter 17, verse 26 and verse 27. Even though it might seem like it will never happen. 120 years. I guarantee you. Those last 5 years, Satan was working harder and it became harder and harder for Noah, but he did it. He remained faithful. He might have had to go to a midweek service twice a week instead of just once a week. Amen. And so much more as you see the day approaching, we need even more of the influence of God to combat the influence of the world. I believe that to be true. We need more. You might want to read through the Bible twice in 1 year instead of once. You might want to take the messages preached and listen to them twice instead of once. Amen. Whatever it might take, but I tell you, as it gets tougher and tougher, maybe even with the circumstances of your life, you need to take more time for the spiritual help that God has available to us. And that'll give you the victory over whatever spiritual battles you're facing. But there's a fulfillment of God's word. Luke in chapter 17, the Bible says this in verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man, in the last of the church age. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Right up to the very day that Noah entered in the ark, they continued to mock God. They continued to go on with life. Live their life as they wanted to live. Anti-God at that time. It's anti-Christ today. And they'll continue to go on with their lifestyle and doing everything that they want to do up until the day of the rapture. The Bible tells us, even though it might seem like it will never happen, one day it will happen. It's been some 2,000 years since Christ resurrected. It's been 2,000 years since we've been living in this church age. Might seem like it's not going to happen, but one day it will happen. Why? Because I know I have the inspiration from the life of Noah to help me to know that it's going to happen. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus used the life of Noah. Jesus used the example of Noah. In Matthew chapter 24, again, in verse 36 down to verse 39, as he speaks of the rapture and what's going to take place there in the rapture, it is going to happen. It's a fulfillment of God's word. And verse 36 of Matthew chapter 24 says this, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, but no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. No one knows. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So there's no doubt that I live my life with the understanding that the rapture could take place at any moment. And if it does not, it's still the way that I should live my life, because it's a way to live. If the rapture doesn't happen, it's a way to live before you die. If we live by faith, then we will die in faith. And living for God is not only the way to live, but living for God is a way to leave this world. And it's appointed unto man once to die. Listen to me. All of those for some 2,000 years who believed the rapture was coming and lived their life according to their belief in the rapture is going to take place, they died in faith. And they lived their life as God would have them to. Now, I believe the rapture will take place in my lifetime. But if it doesn't, praise the Lord, by thinking it's going to, I'm going to die in faith. And that's the only way to leave this world. What an inspiration. And what a great example of the fulfillment of God's word. And then lastly tonight, go back with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis in chapter 6, verse 13 and 14. His life reveals that even after God determined to do it, destroy the world by flood, he waited for a time so that there would be no excuse for anyone to have rejected his message. Chapter 6 and verse 13. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And destroy them with destroying the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. God knew that it would take Noah 120 years. After he's already told him, he says, it's going to happen. Nothing will change that. This world will be destroyed with water. I am going to flood the earth. But he waited. In the old world, he waited 120 years. In the new world, since Christ brought the full revelation, the new world's been about 4,000 years since then, but it's been 2,000 years since Christ brought the full revelation. And it's only been within the last so many years that we have the technology that we have today to where the whole world can view any event. And the whole world has access. In the jungles of Bolivia, we'd go in there and we'd go in, and some of these places, they would have ham radios and they would have their own generators and they had televisions. And they had radio broadcasts. There's never been a time on this planet where the whole world could hear the gospel. If not through mission, there's more missionaries, and God has, the technology has allowed missionaries to travel around the world in, what, a day? And we've got so many different ways of communicating with humanity today. There's never been a time when the technology has enabled the Word of God to be spread like it is today. And God was going to wait so there would be no excuse for anyone. I think we're pretty close to that. I think the Bible prophecies are fulfilling all around us, and we're pretty close to the Bible saying that God waited so there'd be no excuse. 1 Peter, and we'll close with these last two verses here, 2 Peter. No excuse for anyone to reject the message that God has for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 3 rather, in verse 20, it says this, which sometimes were disobedient, when once a long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Revealing the long-suffering of God, and he waited for 120 years. Through the testimony of Noah, we find the long-suffering of God. He waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing 120 years to let everyone that was on the planet Earth even then to hear about this person building this ark and preaching that there's going to come a flood. Now, what they did with that message was totally up to their free will. But God waited 120 years, and by 120 years, that was a message, no doubt, especially when all the animals started showing up. Noah didn't go out and get the animals. We studied that. All the animals went to Noah. When all these things started happening, the world knew that there was what was taking place. And there was this man named Noah, preacher of righteousness, telling the world that there's coming a flood. Once a long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved. Only his own family. His wife, three sons, and their wives. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're done. Verse 8 and 9. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now, why would God tell us that? Maybe because it's only been 2 days. And the scope of eternity, that is no time at all. Been 2,000 years since we've had the full revelation, but look at the advancement of technology and what God has allowed for the number one reason, so the world would be without excuse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. To usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. It's going to happen. So, as we leave the life of Noah, remember how God used his life to touch your life. The truths of what Noah did in his testimony, what a blessing, a faith, an inspiration. What a great testimony. I trust that we would want to have a great testimony to leave others when our life's work is over. And only you will determine what kind of testimony you leave.